Now please turn with me in your Bibles to our text this afternoon. This is found in the letter of Paul to the Ephesians, chapter 1, Ephesians chapter 1 in the Pew Bibles, page 976, 976, Ephesians chapter 1. And I'm looking just at one verse, a great verse, one of the great verses in the Bible, where the Apostle Paul writes, "In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace." In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace. During the Victorian times, there was a bishop in the Church of England called J.C. Ryle. And if you can ever get books by J.C. Ryle, they're all in print. If you can get books by J.C. Ryle and read them, I cannot recommend them highly enough. They're some of the finest writings that I have read. And please forgive a moment of, well, I hope it's not boasting, but I've translated every word that Bishop Ryle wrote into Swahili, because I saw the need for this man's writings to people of other languages. And there's an occasion when Bishop Ryle was traveling on a train. This is after he had retired, and he wasn't wearing, of course, his clerical clothing. He was dressed in ordinary Victorian clothing. And he was traveling on a train, and he got into a conversation with somebody who obviously didn't know him. And the person judged by his conversation, and so he said, "I take it you're a Christian." And Bishop Ryle said, "Yes, I'm a Christian." And the man said, "Can you explain to me what that means?" And this was Bishop Ryle's answer. He said, "It means I'm one of the most blessed people here on earth. I'm one of the most blessed people here on earth." Indeed, he said, every Christian, regardless of where they live, every Christian is a blessed person. I think that's something we need to keep in mind. That we who are Christians, the first and foremost thing about us really is this: we are blessed. God has blessed us. God has blessed us in Christ. And the blessings of God are not few, they're many. And the blessings of God are not shallow blessings. They're deep blessings. They're huge blessings. Because as I've often said from this pulpit, God never does anything in a half-hearted manner. You know how sometimes you want to give a gift to your friend and you think, "Well, I think I can afford this. I mean, I don't want to go overboard with these matters. And of course, I don't have a huge amount of money. So I think I'll buy this. It looks good and it'll be of help," and that sort of thing. But God never does anything like that. Everything that God does, he does wholeheartedly. His whole heart is in it. His whole person is in it. When God blesses us, he blesses us wholeheartedly. And we've been studying Ephesians chapter 1 for a number of weeks now. And Ephesians chapter 1 is one of those chapters where the blessings that God has given to his people are listed one by one. And this is why we're going through this passage. It's because we want to understand these blessings. We want to see what these blessings are and what they mean. So you may remember several weeks ago when we began this passage, Ephesians 1, and we began with verse 3. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places." What a statement that is. He has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. And then Paul lists the blessings one by one. So we saw in verse 4, election. He chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless. We saw that he has predestined us for adoption. You've got blessings there already. That he has predestined our lives and he has adopted us into his family according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace. And then last time we saw in verse 7 that in him we have redemption. And we saw how we who were slaves of sin have been brought out of that slavery by the blood of Jesus, and brought into his kingdom and adopted into his family. Well, in verse 7, there is a second blessing that is mentioned, and he goes on to say, in him we have redemption, we've looked at that, through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace. Forgiveness. That's what I want to look at this afternoon. The blessing of forgiveness. I just want to look at verse 7, and there are three things that I want to say from it. It's quite a simple message, but I trust it will be of great blessing and a great help to you. Three things I want to say in this on this theme from this verse. And the first is this. This passage, indeed, the Bible teaches us that in Christ we have complete forgiveness for our sins. We have complete forgiveness for our sins. If you're a Christian here this afternoon, I wonder how you think about your relationship to God. I wonder if you think to yourself, God must be disappointed in me. I wonder if you think to yourself, God must be angry with me. I wonder if you think to yourself, God must wish that I was a better person because I keep sinning and I have these habits of sin and I keep falling into these habits of sin, and these habits of sin are there and they stand between me and my relationship to God. Now, if that is how you think, I want to tell you this, that is not the true picture. When you became a Christian, you put your faith in Jesus Christ. When you put your faith in Jesus Christ, a great exchange took place. Your sins were taken off you and put onto Jesus Christ. And his righteousness, his good works, his works of obedience were taken and put onto you. And all your sins are gone. God does not deal with you according to your sins. When God has daily dealings with you, when you come to him in prayer, when you have issues in your life and you bring those in prayer and you say, well, Lord, there are these issues, will you help me? He's not saying, yeah, but you're a sinner. And you come to me in your prayers and you're a sinner. He's not saying that. Because Jesus Christ took all your sins. When the Lord Jesus hung upon the cross of Calvary, your sins were taken and your sins were placed upon him. And he paid the penalty for your sins. He cleared the debt that you owed. He cleared the guilt of your sins. He satisfied the law of God. Every one of your sins, past, present and future, have been dealt with. Every one of them. You will never, ever be guilty in the sight of God. You will never, ever be condemned by God. God will never, ever bring up your sins and say to you, yesterday you did this, last week you did this, last month you did this. He will never do it, because when Jesus died on the cross, those sins, all of them, every one of them, every sin that we have committed, and every sin that we will commit until we draw our last breath here on earth. And you may be a young person here with many years yet to live and many sins to commit. Every one of those were laid upon the Lord Jesus. And Jesus paid the penalty. And Jesus cleared the guilt of that sin. You are today a forgiven person. You have total forgiveness, complete forgiveness, eternal forgiveness. You will never ever be guilty in the law of God. You will never ever be condemned by the law of God. You will never ever be rejected by God and abandoned by God on account of your sins. Your sins have been dealt with by Jesus on the cross of Calvary. He has dealt with them. You have complete forgiveness. Now, this is something that should enable us to rejoice. This is something that should lift our hearts, and we should say with Paul, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. So that's the first thing, and please grasp it. And can I say this? If it is a problem to you, this whole issue of sin and your standing before God and what is, you know, what about sins that we commit today and so on. If these are issues with you, please come and talk to me. It is something I can help you with. Because it is something that matters, because joy is the great character of the Christian life. And we will never have joy as long as we think we're guilty before God, as long as we think God is displeased with us, and God is rejecting us. We'll never have joy. But to know the joy of sins forgiven. We had a wonderful family talk this morning. In fact, people afterwards say, would you tell Mike what a great talk that was? And we were reminded of that great, great story of Pilgrim's Progress. If you've never read Pilgrim's Progress, I echo what Mike said. Get hold of a book called Pilgrim's Progress. After the Bible, Pilgrim's Progress is the best-selling book of all time. It's the second best-selling book of all time after the Bible. A great Christian book. And in that book, we read of how this man called Christian was reading the Bible. He was walking in the fields, reading the Bible as he was walking. And a burden was on his back. Because when you first read the Bible as a non-Christian, you become aware of your sin. Your conscience begins to trouble you. And so he had this burden as he was reading the Bible, because he saw the law of God, and he saw his behavior, and he saw that he was guilty before God, and he had this massive burden. And he tried all kinds of ways to get rid of the burden. One day in the mercies of God, he met a man called Evangelist. And he says to Evangelist, I've got this burden. And Evangelist points him to a place and says, do you see there? What do you see? And he says, I see a gate. And he said, you go there. And you go through that gate. And you will come to the cross. And he said, you go to the cross. Don't do anything else. Go to the cross. And so he left his home. He left his wife, his children. They shouted after him. He put his fingers in his ears, he wouldn't listen to their pleas to return. And he went to that gate, and all across the gate, to the cross. And we saw that picture this morning. And as he bowed at the cross, and trusted in the Savior who had died at the cross, his burden rolled off. And he was free from his guilt. So that's the first thing we need to grasp this afternoon, that we have a complete forgiveness of sin. You are a forgiven person. The second thing that I want us to see in this passage, I already referred to it, but I want to emphasize it, and it is this, that we have complete forgiveness in Christ alone. Do you notice how Paul writes verse 7? In Him, you see, we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of His grace. When you read this passage, as I've said before, from verse 3 to verse 14, it's a passage where he lists and describes the blessings we enjoy. You notice again and again, he refers to Christ. He begins with Christ, doesn't he? Verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Even as He chose us in Him, there's Christ again. Verse 5, He predestined us to adoption to Himself as sons through Jesus Christ. And so on. He keeps mentioning Christ because everything in our salvation is based upon Christ. We are Christians because Christ came. We are Christians because Christ lived a perfect life here on earth. We are Christians because Christ died on the cross. We're Christians because Christ rose from the dead. We're Christians because Christ ascended into heaven. We're Christians because Christ sent His Holy Spirit. And we are Christians because Christ directed the work of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit came to us under the direction of Christ, made us alive and made us aware of our sins, and brought us to Christ and united us to Christ by faith. All the work of the Lord Jesus, it is in Christ alone. So we do not get forgiveness because of our works. You must never say to yourself, well, I've sinned and I've done a lot of bad things, but if I do good things, then there will be at least some sort of equaling, some sort of leveling of the balance. Well, there is no such thing. You know, if you talk to the Muslims, and you talk about this business about forgiveness, the Muslims, I don't know if you know this, but the Muslims have this belief, it's actually in their writings, that there's an angel who sits on the right shoulder and an angel who sits on the left shoulder. And the angel who sits on the right shoulder keeps a list of all the good works. And the angel who sits on the left shoulder keeps an account of all the bad works. And then when the Muslim dies, this is their belief, and it's false, of course, but they believe when he dies, he stands before Allah. And Allah takes the account from the angel on the right shoulder and the account from the angel on the left shoulder, and he compares and he says, now which is the longer list? And I think a lot of people, without going into all that intricate theology, I think a lot of people believe this. I think that's the most natural belief that people have. On a lovely day like this, if you were to go to the seafront and you were to say to people, how can I be right with God? I think most people would say, do good works. Good works is a sort of an instinctive thing with us. You know, it's something that we've inherited from Adam. If only I can do good works to please God, I will be accepted by God. If only I can do good works to please God, He will forgive me my sins as a reward. Now, I'm not in any way decrying good works. Good works are hugely important. But I will say this, good works do not secure our salvation. Good works do not secure our forgiveness. It is Christ's works that secures our salvation. It is Christ's work that secures our forgiveness. It is Jesus who lived a perfect life in our place and gives us His righteousness. It is Jesus who died on the cross, took our sins upon Himself, and paid the penalty and satisfied the law of God. It is in Christ alone. That hymn is well written. In Christ alone, my hope is found. And that is absolutely the final statement, as it were, for the Christian. You know, on your deathbed, when the devil comes, and I've seen this many times as a pastor, I sit with people who are on their deathbed, and even the finest Christians, the devil will come. And the devil will remind them, do you remember that failure? And do you remember that sin? And do you remember that wrongdoing? And the devil will do this, particularly on our deathbed, when we are weak, emotionally weak, and we're physically weak, and we find ourselves under attack. And the finest Christian says, yes, it's true, but in Christ alone, my hope is found. In Christ alone is my salvation. I'm not going to stand before God in a few hours and plead my works. I'm not going to stand before God in a few hours and tell Him what things I have done in order to earn a place in heaven and earn my salvation. It is not earned. It is given to us in Christ alone. And so we trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. We trust in His righteousness. We trust in His death on the cross. We trust in His blood. We trust in His works. We trust Him because He did all that was acceptable to the Father. When He died, the Father accepted His death as a perfect sacrifice, an acceptable sacrifice on behalf of His people. And the Father raised the Son from the dead as a statement, I have accepted that sacrifice. The resurrection of Jesus Christ proves that His death on the cross has secured our salvation. And so in this passage, as we will see week by week as we go through it, it's always in Christ. Verse 7, in Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses. It is always in Christ. So in the first place, we have a complete forgiveness. All our sins have been dealt with. In the second place, our forgiveness is in Christ alone. And then thirdly and finally in this verse, this teaching that Paul gives, and it's found in verse 7, he says, we have complete forgiveness according to the riches of God's grace. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of His grace. I often preach about grace, because to me grace is such a wonderful thing. For 23 years I was in a religion where there was no grace. And I was brought up right from my young age, right through my childhood, my teenage years, right into my early 20s. I was told, you want anything from God, you have to buy it. You want any blessing from God, you have to earn it. Anything you want from God, God will never give you anything free. You want good exam results. You want to play in the first cricket team. Whatever you want, you have to earn those things. You do good works and God will see your good works and God will then as a result and as a reward for your good works give you these blessings. And then at the age of 23, I read the Bible. And I came across a word I'd never ever come across before, grace. And I remember looking it up and I remember talking to Christians about this, grace. Meaning God does not ask anything of us, but God freely and wholeheartedly gives all His blessings. All the blessings that are mentioned in this passage, they are all by grace. Why did God choose you before the foundation of the world? Because He is gracious. It's a free gift. It's not because He foresaw what you were going to do. There are Christians who believe this, and they're completely wrong. There are Christians who say, well, before eternity, God looked at the whole world, and He looked at all the human beings on the world. He saw what each one was going to do, and based on their behavior, He elected those who were going to be saved. Nonsense. In this passage, Paul refers again and again to God's grace. And grace means it is not earned. Why did God choose us? Because out of grace He chose us. He decided to choose us and that was it. Why did God adopt us into His family? Why this blessing of adoption? Is it because we were good people who deserved adoption? No, it is because He is gracious. Why redemption? We who were slaves of sin and have been redeemed out of slavery by His blood. Why redemption? Is it because He saw that once we were redeemed, we would live godly lives? Of course not. It's because He is gracious. It's a free gift. And why forgiveness? Why has He forgiven you everything? Why have all your sins been laid upon Christ? Why did Christ bear all your sins upon Himself? Why did Christ die for all your sins and clear your guilt and clear your penalty? Is it because you were a good person deserving of His rewards? Not at all. It is according to His grace. Indeed, it is according to the riches of His grace. Isn't that a lovely phrase? Christ isn't gracious. Christ is rich in grace. Now, if the Bible had said Christ is gracious, we would have said, praise the Lord, Christ is gracious. And indeed we do say, praise the Lord, Christ is gracious. But he emphasizes this, doesn't he? He throws in that little adjective, according to the riches of His grace. Because God is rich in grace. And God has a heart filled with grace. And the Lord Jesus Christ came to this earth full of grace. Have you ever noticed that verse in John chapter 1? He came full of grace. There is a richness to God's grace. And that richness means God blesses abundantly. He doesn't just bless in a mean sort of way, in a half-hearted sort of way. All the blessings of God are abundant blessings. God redeems us, and it isn't just redemption, it's an abundant redemption. He removes us from slavery to sin, and He removes that effect that it has and brings us into His kingdom. When He adopts us, He doesn't just adopt us, but there's an abundance in His adoption. We are His beloved children. There is this relationship between us and the Father, Father and children, because we've been adopted into His family. It isn't a passing acquaintanceship. It isn't some sort of strangers who know each other a little. We are His beloved children. When He forgives, He doesn't just forgive, but there's an abundance in His forgiveness. In Isaiah, the prophet says that we are to come to God. Isaiah says, seek the Lord while He may be found. Turn to Him while He is near, and He will abundantly forgive. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous his paths, and He will abundantly forgive. There is that word there, abundantly forgive. Because that is what He does. Every sin forgiven, because of His grace. You have earned nothing. You've not earned your calling as a Christian. You've not earned your adoption. You've not earned your redemption. You've not earned forgiveness. They have all been given freely. Now, do you see what that means? It means you can't lose these things. If we had done works to earn these things, we can undo the works and therefore lose them. Do you see what I'm saying? You see, if I earn somebody's favor by doing some good things, and so they say, oh, he's done some good things, and so I will give him some favor, I will pay him some money. But then if I undo that, well, then they can say, well, that's the end of the relationship. But our relationship with God is based on grace. The foundation on which our relationship with God is based is grace. I listen much to Dr. Lloyd-Jones, and I know I often quote Dr. Lloyd-Jones because he was such a great preacher. And Dr. Lloyd-Jones once said something which absolutely changed my life. And this is what he said. If you're a Christian, your relationship to God is not based on the law, it is based on grace. Your relationship to God is not based on the law, it is based on grace. God does not apply His law to you in your relationship with Him. I am not in any way demeaning the law of God. The law of God is hugely important. But I am saying that our relationship to God is not based on the law. If it was based on the law, the moment we break that law, the relationship breaks. But in reality, it doesn't. I'm not saying that you have license to sin, but I am saying you have a gracious God in heaven. A God who loves you graciously. A God who has saved you graciously. Who has redeemed you, adopted you, and forgiven you graciously. And this releases us, it liberates us to love Him. We're not always looking at the law and saying, I must, I must, I must. But we're looking at the Lord. And we're looking at His love and His grace. And saying, I will love Him. And I will devote myself to Him. And I will live for Him. And I will seek after Him. Because He has loved me. And He has poured His love into my heart. And He's been gracious to me. And merciful to me. And all His blessings have come graciously to me. And I will therefore love Him. That is the Christian life. The Christian life is this liberated heart. Liberated by grace. And liberated by love. Going to God wholeheartedly, voluntarily, and saying, I will love You because Your grace has moved me. And Your love has stimulated me. And inspired me to love You. Our relationship with God is based on grace. And on love, not on law and on duty. Praise God for that. So Paul in this passage, in this list of blessings that he speaks about, emphasizes this. In Him, he says, we have forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of His grace. In Christ, we have complete forgiveness. It is in Christ alone that that forgiveness comes. And it comes graciously, freely given, not earned by anything that we do. Praise God for His goodness and grace to us.